the mountain, his father by his side, never realizing he would be the sacrifice. And when Abraham raised up his hand to take his child's life, in his heart he must have wondered why. Sometimes God will take us to unexpected places, but in every situation we will find God will provide beyond what we've imagined, so much more than we could fathom. He will supply, God will provide. When we trust in Him completely and take each step believing like a child, God will provide.
Nick, let's all stand together, take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians. We'll just read a couple verses and we'll let you be seated. Thank you for your faithfulness to church during the summer. And, you know, summer's a good time. And how many of you have taken a vacation so far this summer? How many of you plan on taking one? How many of you wouldn't raise your hand if I offered you $20? Liars, all of you. But even when you're on vacation or you're busy in the summer, always make sure we stay faithful to God and do what we're supposed to do and do the Ford and Flourish. One thing I enjoy when we're gone a little bit is just going to other churches and seeing other churches. Of course, I appreciate our church. You appreciate your church, and you miss your church when you come back. But it's you know, you get to see other churches. We were actually, when we were gone, we got to see Wednesday we were up at Brother Pichardo's church, so we got to see him. It's always a blessing to see him. So thank you for your faithfulness, even during the summer. We've been talking about the church for a few weeks. Now, it's been a few weeks since I've been here, but we'll review in a minute. But just read a couple verses. Ephesians chapter 5, we'll start at verse 25. We'll read three verses and we'll let you be seated. It says, husbands, love your wives. Okay, when you say amen, you might want to let me read the rest of it before you buy into this. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Really? Okay, good, good. I'm glad you're still with us. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. But that it should be holy and without blemish. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening, this time we have to be together on a Thursday night. I pray as we move through this and talk a little about the church and what the purpose of the church is, that you would encourage us and speak to our hearts and help us to fulfill it in our daily lives and in the life of our church. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We had mentioned earlier on in the lessons that, of course, we understand that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Colossians 1:18 tells us that he is the head of the body, the church. When we talked a few weeks ago, we talked about how the modern church is changing things a little bit. And really, the modern church reminds us of the book of Judges, where every man does that which is right in his own eyes. We kind of stick our finger up and judge what's going on in our society, and we try to incorporate it into our church just to get a crowd. By the way, if you get a crowd by checking out what's going on around us, that's how you have to keep a crowd. And if you keep them by bringing what's on the outside inside, you're not helping them very much. You just have nothing more than a social club, and we don't want to do that. We talked about the people of the church last time we met. The church has been called out. The members of the church are called out by two things, and this is our requirements for membership: salvation and baptism. A person must have been saved by trusting Christ, and they must have been baptized by immersion. We gave you a definition of what a church is. It's right there on your sheet. The church. A good definition of church would be: a church is a called out assembly of born again baptized believers meeting in a specific location for the purpose of fellowship and support, observing the ordinances, carrying out the Great Commission, and doing all things whatsoever the Lord commands. We believe in the local church. A church is a local body of believers. It's not just made up of everybody who's saved. Now, one day when we're in heaven, it'll be that group, okay? But there are local churches. Tonight, what we want to do is look at the purpose of the church. What is the purpose of the church? Now, there's a lot of things the church will do. There's a lot of things that we are involved with. But what is the main purpose of the church? You see, Christian organizations lose their soul. You ever go out, if it's Christmas time and you're out Christmas shopping, you'll see the Red Cross. The guy's dressed up like Santa Claus, and they're sitting there, and they have the little red bucket, and they're collecting money for humanitarian causes. I'm not against humanitarian causes, but that's not the main focus and purpose of the church. And by the way, the Salvation Army got that name because they were staunch at one time when they started at getting the gospel out. They started over, I believe it was in England, in London, and they would go to the worst parts of the city and preach the gospel. And they were persecuted. They'd throw things at them. But they've kind of lost their soul nowadays, and they're not so much about that, more about humanitarian aid. But the church must stick to its purpose. Where do we get the purpose of the church? It must be defined by the Bible. The Bible gives us our marching orders. The Bible tells us what our existence is for. The Bible tells us what our purpose is for. We're not a social club. Now, we are social. And by the way, that's a need people have, and there's nothing wrong with it, but we're not a social club. Okay? Let others do that. Let bowling leagues and all those do all that stuff. It's not a humanitarian aid group, although we do help some with that. It's a spiritual organization that is out to accomplish spiritual goals. That's what we're all about. That's what a church must do. Now, if we're going to find out what the purpose of the church is, we need to look back at the foundational time of the church, the early church, and that's what we're going to look at. We see that all that they accomplished very early on, after Christ went to heaven and they were reaching thousands of people, churches were popping up, missionary endeavors. We have to ask ourselves, how did a group of first century believers grow and multiply churches to the point that 2,000 years later, there are local churches all around the world? Why? The work they started is still continuing today. If it wasn't for them, we would not be here. Okay? And so we need to make sure we're fulfilling our purpose. They fulfilled their purpose. Let me give you three things under the purpose of the church tonight. Number one, and this is just basic and blunt and point blank. As a church, we must follow Christ's commission. That's the marching orders. We must follow the commission of Christ. Just before he ascended into heaven, he gave his disciples, really, if you think about it, an astonishing challenge, especially for the times in which they lived. Matthew chapter 28, the verses on your sheet there. We know it well. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now think about this group he's talking to. This small band of his disciples. He's about to give them a mind-blowing commission. Go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He expects us to carry that command out, to get the gospel out to the entire world, to everybody. That's our responsibility. By the way, this small set of believers, and we're going to read the verse in Acts in a little bit. We know the verse in Acts. It wasn't much longer after this that the testimony given to them by others was, these that have turned the world upside down have come. They took their responsibility literally and made an impact anywhere they went. He gave us a great commandment. Look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a far-reaching commission, and it requires dedication and dependence for us to accomplish it. Look at the verses in Luke. And he said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Can you imagine that? You're going to start here. You're going to start now. And you're going to spread out. And I want you to reach the whole world. Now, fortunately for that, us, when he gave us this command, he did not leave us without the resources to be able to see it accomplished. He gave us the resources. That's where Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 comes. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He gave them power to get the job done. By the way, you see sometimes a new convert will come and they learn how to witness to somebody, and they'll go out and witness to somebody. Say they go out on a Tuesday night, and for the first time they see somebody saved, and they'll come and say, hey, I saved somebody tonight. It's like, really? I hope it's not you that did the saving, all right? I hope it's a little bit stronger than that. But we know what they mean when they say that. But let me just tell you something. We don't save anybody. What we do is God uses us to give the message, and others are planting the seed, but it is the Spirit of God working in the background that convicts them of their need to trust Christ as their Savior. We're just the witnesses. We're just testifying of what we know is true and what we know God has done in our life and what we know God can do in their life. And the Spirit of God works through what we do. But he's given us the power we need. Now, what are the elements that we need to be able to fulfill this? He mentioned several places we're supposed to fulfill it. And this is just a reminder for us. We know this. Letter A is Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem? Long Beach and immediate surrounding areas. That's those areas within the reach of our congregation here. That's our church. That's Long Beach. That's whatever city it is you live in. If you attend our church, that's the people you come in contact with as you're at work on a daily basis, as you're out living your life in this area. And God wants us to reach our city. By the way, our city's in bad shape. Okay? Don't get me started about the mayor. Okay? Say, you dislike him? I don't know him. I'm not for what he's for. Okay? Is that hate? No, it's not hate. It's reality. And that's going to be pushed in our city. But you know what our city needs? Our city needs Jesus Christ. There is people everywhere that need the Lord. And so, although some of the things going on in our city maybe sometimes nauseate us or think that it's not right and there's political points to it, hey, why don't we realize there's spiritual needs? Let's go out there and let's get it done. And let's help people everywhere we can. Now, how do we reach Jerusalem? It starts with each and one of us on an individual basis. It is all of our responsibility to be able to share the gospel. If you're new here and you're like, I've never done that, I don't know what that's about, you ought to come out with us on Tuesday nights. You'll go with someone that'll show you how to do it and how you can share your faith. It's a shame that cults who are steeped in religion and they're following something that is false because it's not following the Bible, they know more about what they believe than the average Christian knows about what they believe. If someone comes up to you and says, hey, you're a Christian, what does that mean? You ought to be able to tell them. You ought to be able to tell them. I don't say that to shame you. I say that to say, if you don't know, let's learn. Let's learn how to share what Jesus Christ has done for us. Carry out tracts and constantly invite people. Come on Saturday morning. We have faithfulness rally at 9:30. You can do that. Whatever. Summer saturation is going on. And I encourage you. We think we have, after next week, we have like 3 weeks left. Come out with us. It's an exciting thing to share the gospel with somebody. By the way, this October, we'll have our one-by-one training. And we'll go through and we'll talk about, we'll do training on how to win someone to the Lord. And so that'll be very important. But God wants us to reach people in Jerusalem. He wants us to reach people, letter B, Judea and Samaria. We could call that church planting outside of our area, in our state or in our country. Okay? That's saying, let's not just be concerned about right here. Now, we need to be concerned about right here, but really, we need to have a heart for our state, our surrounding area, and for really our country. We need churches. We need right churches, okay, that aren't just social clubs, that aren't just felt needs and are afraid to share the gospel with people for fear of offending them, but the purpose is to get the gospel out. And that's what our church, how do we do that? We support church planters. Or our church will go out, we'll start another church. Whatever it is, we got to get churches started. Church planting outside of our area, getting the gospel. Letter C, the uttermost part of the earth. What is that? Entire world. The entire world. Again, how do we do that? Say, well, we can support missions. And by the way, you do a great job of supporting missions. Our missions giving has been very solid since our last missions, our last missions conference, and we've been able to take several new missionaries on. We took, there's a couple of guys from Brother Goddard that they not long ago, they went and started a church, and so we're going to support them for a year. And there's other missionaries, and we support some of the guys that have been through here that are going to China. You know how we are able to do that? As the church gives to missions. And by the way, and also by just being a church that is open to people from our church going to the mission field. We're not trying to hold on to everybody as tight as we can. If God's calling you to go to the mission field, go. Be open to it. By the way, I don't see anywhere in Scripture where God's calling or our dedication to God has boundaries. I feel God wants me to be in ministry. Now we need another calling to go to the mission field. It ought to just be, I feel God wants me to do something. God, where do you want me to do it? And let God point that out to you. But the uttermost part of the world, we have a very strong presence in Southeast Asia. And we're going to continue to have that presence in Southeast Asia. So we see that. We see that we must follow Christ's commission. Number two, time's getting away from us. We must follow Christ's commands. As a church, we follow his commission. Get the gospel out. Love people. Try to reach them with God's word. But then, as individuals, we must be a church that follow Christ's commands. It's amazing how many Christians in this country complain about the demise of our nation and the crumbling of the values of our nation, while they themselves have neglected Christ's commands concerning the church. It's amazing. They had this thing, Hobby Lobby. And they didn't want to pay, I don't know if it was for abortions through their medical, because they're owned by a Christian. And they went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court sided with them and said, you don't have to pay for that. And now a bunch of senators said, we don't like that, so they're going to introduce a law which is going to go against what the Supreme Court said to make them pay anyhow. Our nation's messed up. Okay? But I'm going to tell you where it all started. It started when Christians quit being Christians. We don't say nothing. Everything's, let's just love God and let's not stir the boat. We don't need to be rude. Most people have no idea how bad our country is getting. It's getting worse. But it started in the church. If every person in this country, every single person in this country who said they are a Christian, I don't know, statistics will say 70% say they're Christians. I don't see where that is, to be honest with you. But if every person who was really saved tomorrow decided to get up and live right and be the Christian and stand for right that they're supposed to, our country would change overnight. But now we're being taught, just be quiet. We're getting mad now that the world is starting to tell us to shut up. But for years, our own have told us to shut up. There's Christians getting in line with all this. We're not here to do any of that. Just share God's love. In our country is, we're gonna be like England soon. You watch, England has zero desire for God. I remember years and years ago, we had a missionary to England stayed at our house. They were here, and I was talking to. They weren't missionaries to England. They were going somewhere else. The daughter had grown up on the mission field in England, and her stories were atrocious. She was borderline bitter about having to grow up in England. It was so bad. And some of the stories, the things they did to churches was ridiculous. We're going to get there one day. How do we do it? Why don't we just live righteously? Let's stand up for right properly. And let's go win other people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're no different than the world. The Christian life is built upon obedience. Someone may say, well, I love Jesus. I just love him. I got the t-shirt. I got the bumper sticker. I know. I saw your bumper sticker when you cut me off and you raised your hand and not all your fingers were up. I see your bumper sticker. What does the Bible say? If you love me, keep my commandments. That's the evidence. Does it say be perfect? No. We're supposed to be mature. We'll never be perfect. But we ought to strive to be obedient. People ought to look at us and say, that guy's not perfect, but man, he's trying to walk a straight line. He's trying to be like Christ. And that's what our church ought to be. We live in a time of apostasy. Look at Titus there, the verses. We don't want to obey the truth anymore. Unto the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Now think about that. They profess that they know God, but in their works, they deny God. They deny him. Think about that. I would never get up and deny my Lord publicly. You could get that testimony from every Christian you talk to. But in their works, are they denying him? In their life, are they denying him? There's a verse in in Proverbs. I can't quote it exactly, but it's talking about how when water comes from when a Christian falling down before the wicked is like a corrupt spring. You know what that says? It makes the source look bad. If you got water coming down the stream and you're drinking it and there's something wrong with it, it's poisoned or there's something yucky in it, you're saying somewhere upstream the source is bad. That's what we say when we fall down before the wicked in the way we live. And again, God doesn't expect us to be perfect. The world doesn't expect us to be perfect, but they want to see evidence. There's a couple areas here that we should follow Christ's commands for the truth. We ought to, I think there's bullet points, we ought to gather for the truth. You see the verses there in Hebrews. Church should be important. Now we read the truth on our own and we get into truth on our own, but God wants us, you cannot deny it, just a glancing reading of the New Testament. Church is important. And God wants us to be connected together in a local assembly for the things he talks about here. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You read those, you read the updates from Brother Board in Cambodia, and some of those folks from the Cham village that are living for God and attending church. They're ridiculed. Some of them are persecuted. We don't get any of that here. And yet, you know, if we got to bed a half an hour late on Saturday night, it's hard for us to get to church on Sunday. Okay? Church should not be a convenience. It ought to be a conviction. Church is a conviction. That's why. If it's conviction when you're on vacation, you go. We ought to stand for the truth. The next bullet. 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And then in Ephesians, it says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. What would keep our nation from spoiling? When something's going on, lovingly stand up, and someone's got to say, that's not right. It's not right. To get up and say, it's okay, Johnny, if you want to decide today whether you're a boy or a girl. What bathroom do you want to use today, Johnny? Do you want to use the men's bathroom or are you a girl today? Okay. To think that anybody with an IQ over 1 can't realize that doesn't make sense. Seriously. We have people writing Christian books why homosexuality is right. And Christian booksellers are publishing it. And they try to twist the scriptures. You can't read the scriptures, you're not going to find anywhere where there's two people married and that's okay. Everywhere marriage is mentioned in a positive light, it's a man and a woman. And the other is mentioned as an abomination. It doesn't take much sense. And it's not being mean. It's like the story. Pastor would always use the story. The king has no clothes on. The story about the king and his kingdom and someone, you can have this magic, outfit that only wise people see. And he sold them nothing. But he didn't want people to think he wasn't wise, so he put it on. Until a little boy saw him walking down the street and said, the king has no clothes on. Okay? Stand for the truth. Lovingly, but let's not give in to it. And then the next thing is we teach the truth. 2 Timothy 2:1-2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ, and the things that thou hast heard among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Just Christians helping other Christians and teaching them the truth. Don't pander just to what people want to hear. We neglect what people need to hear so often. But we need to get the truth out. Let's go to 3. And as a church, we must follow Christ's conditions. What does that mean? What is the church to be involved with? And we'll go through these briefly. Many of these are in our discipleship book. We see the conditions in the beginning of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verse 41 to 47. We'll read them. I'll give you these and we'll be done. It says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possession and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. What are some of the things the church is to be involved with? Look at letter A. Of course, we observe the ordinances. There are two ordinances in the church. One is, talked about a couple weeks ago, baptism. And the other is the Lord's Supper. The church is to be involved with that. When someone gets saved, really the next step they ought to take after salvation is baptism. It's the next step. First step of obedience. Baptism is identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord's Supper is remembering our Lord Jesus Christ. So observe the ordinances. Letter B, promote the membership. And the same day there were, here's the word, added unto them. Who? Those other believers at Jerusalem, that church at Jerusalem. Those people got saved and they hooked up, became a part of that group. Everybody needs a church family. Everybody. I don't know how many times someone will come in here, they don't go to our church, they'll come in, they want money for something. I don't know if it's true or not. And I hate being the bad guy, but I've been lied to many times. I could write a book of the stories. One guy came in one time at the whole church, and they're always asking for money for gas. This guy actually had a belt off his car. It was broke. He goes, I need money to buy a belt off the car. I said, I'm pretty sure you're lying to me, but that's original, so I'll give you a dollar. Because usually you get some other story. I'm out of gas. How'd you get here? Yeah, okay. But look, if you have a church family, I'm a Christian. Well, where's your church? Man, if someone's here and they're having a problem in our church, there's going to be people here that are going to help out, like family. But we want to be renegade Christians. You know, I'll just hop around. I feel like going to this church that day, and I feel like going to this church that day. They don't want to put their feet down. By the way, that's making a commitment. C, strive for faithfulness. It says, and they continued steadfastly, and they continued daily. You know, it shouldn't be an amazing thing when someone gets saved and serves God and just goes forward for the rest of their life. To be honest with you, that should be the norm. We're amazed. This person got saved, man. They're on fire for God. They're going forward. And 5 years from now, they're still here. That just ought to be the norm. They really get it. I mean, do they understand what happened to them? They were born into God's family. That's the beginning place. Salvation's not the end. It's the beginning. But faithfulness. God wants us to be faithful. By the way, those of us in the church, we ought to be faithful in everything we do. That's a character quality. People aren't faithful in anything. They show up to church when they feel like it. They're not faithful to God. They're not faithful in their marriages. They're not faithful to their children and their families anymore. First little problem, everything blows up and it's their place. Just, that's how we are. All kinds of excuses. Too busy, no time. Church is a matter, or being faithful to God is a matter of priorities. When something is important, you ever realize you find a way to get it done? You ever read about what they call vacation focus? When someone's getting ready to go on vacation, now, sometimes you just work in a warehouse, someone else takes your job, it's not a big deal. But, you know, if you have a job where you have a responsibility and you still have the responsibility when you're gone, when you have vacation, it's like you have a way to get everything done that you're supposed to get done and the stuff that needs to be taken care of while you're gone. Why? Because you focus in. It's like, man, we have to leave on this day, and this stuff's got to be done because it's got to be taken care of when I'm gone. Well, we're focused. It's a priority then. We just don't have that kind of focus in anything in our life. We're just kind of hit and miss with everything. If I feel like it today, I'll do this. If I don't feel like it today, I won't do this. Faithfulness. D, teach the word. What did they continue in? The apostles' doctrine. Bible's not just something we carry and yell about. Yeah. Ah, King James. Well, if you want to yell about the King James, I'll yell with you. But if you don't read it, what's it? You might as well own a New World Translation. You might as well own a Book of Mormon, because you're not reading that either. Okay, so let's learn the word. E, meet for fellowship. Meet for fellowship. By the way, fellowship's important, but it's not, fellowship isn't just friendship. Okay? Fellowship is a closer form of friendship we can have because we're saved. The Spirit of God dwells inside of us. We're in the same spiritual family. We have the same spiritual goals. We're on the same page spiritually. And it's something a little bit deeper. It's the best kind of friendship you'll ever have. And it's based on our common belief and trust in Jesus Christ. Next, letter F, encouragement and prayer. Look, if you work out in the world and you work in the workplace, the bunch of unsaved people, and something goes wrong and you go to those people and say, hey, I need you all to pray for me, they're going to look at you funny. Like, seriously? I don't pray. Me and the old man upstairs, we don't know each other. Okay? They'll use some disrespectful term. Where? And by the way, that's the most important thing you need. Where do you get that? Your church family. Okay, it's nice to come to a place saying something's going on in my life or this is going on and I need my friends to pray for me. Okay? And they prayed for each other. Letter G, praising the Lord. They did eat their meats with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with the people. Nice to come to a place and just say, you know what? God is good. Listening to the songs. By the way, we're singing songs. We're singing praise to God. Though, by the way, that's why we use the hymn book, because those songs have meaning. Yes, sir. Not against every song that's not in a hymn book, but, man, it just, if you look at the words, they have meaning to them. There's a depth to them. There's a thankfulness to God that you just don't see. You know, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. Oh, I love you, Lord. Okay, wonderful. But why not have some depth? Thank God for what he's done in our life. And then the last thing is this. And we mentioned already, share the gospel. Say, what were they doing? And the Lord added to the church. Man, people were getting saved everywhere. Okay? That's an exciting thing. Isn't it exciting to have visitors here on Sundays? Isn't it exciting that there's new people coming? And it's not just the same old, you know, we have to look at the same people. I'd be kind of depressed in looking at some of you guys. But man, it means that, you know what? Something's going on. Someone's heard about what's going on here, man, and they're here, and there's an opportunity for them to get to know our Savior. So let's fulfill the purpose for our church. Let's pray.